Welcome to our message this evening. Thank you for dialing in. If anybody has opened this message as a podcast, we'd like for you to understand this is a live teleconference meeting, so there will be people dialing in on the phone from all around the country. We'll give them an opportunity to get here, so we'll start in about 3 to 5 minutes. And any time that you, podcasters, would like to join Freedom's Way on our teleconference meetings live, they're held every Monday and Friday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Dial 605-475-2090 and enter your access code, which is 373-363-pound. You can also go online to freedomswayministries.com for more information about us and ways to support our ministry. You'll find lots of good teachings on that website. So enjoy. Hallelujah. And if you would like to say hello, those of you who have dialed in already, now is a good time to do that.
Hello, this is Helen.
Hi,
I think
Helen.
I'm late, but yeah, I'm really enjoying the replays. I'm getting a lot more out of it than when I first heard it. That they're really good.
Oh, good. Hallelujah. That's usually the way it happens. Is,
yeah.
You know, the more you hear something, the deeper it gets.
Right. Build your faith up.
So, do you have the first two or do you have the first three?
I have two. I forget. I think it was on the 19th and maybe the 26th. I'm not sure.
I think you got the 16th and the 19th. That was
okay.
That was
yeah,
the
that's
Friday.
What it is.
And
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I will send you the. The 23rd and tonight.
Okay. We're still in tonight.
Would that be the 23rd or would that be?
Well, there was the 30th, but then the 26th.
Yeah, that would be
the 23rd.
Last Monday. Mm-hmm. The 23rd and tonight. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And say hello. Who else wants to say hello? Anybody? Okay, well, I know you're out there, and that's a good thing. Hallelujah. All right. Father, just remind your people, tonight is Monday.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. We don't want anybody to miss the start of tonight's meeting. Once we get into our message after our little review, it's really very strong. So for those of you who are note takers, get ready to take some. Get ready to take some notes. Settle it in your heart.
Yep.
Anybody else want to say hello before we get started? Yep. I am going to go ahead then. Hearing no other hellos, I'm going to go ahead and mute your telephones, and we'll get started tonight. For anyone who is new on the line, what that means is you will be able to hear us, but if you're washing your dishes or feeding the cat, we will not be able to hear you. So everyone will have a nice clear line without feedback, hopefully. So I'm going to mute your telephone. Hallelujah. Father God, we praise you tonight. We thank you for this wonderful word. Thank you for the way that you are proving your will to heal us. Your will that everyone be healed. I thank you, God, for who you are. Help us to really engage our hearts in what you have for us. In the name of Jesus, I turn aside any unclean spirit that would seek to corrupt, pollute, dilute, or otherwise defile what you want to do. I turn aside every intruder, every invader, every interloper that would seek to hinder God's people from receiving from him tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we are Freedom's Way Ministries. I am Vicki Burdett. I am here with my delightful husband, Phil. And we are committed to you. We are committed to the body of Christ to get people out of their identity crisis and into who God created us to be from before the foundation of the world, to change our focus from inward and backward to upward and outward. No longer looking at what's wrong with me and how did I get this way, but looking at what's right with him and how do I express that. To that end, we make ourselves available to you. You can call for an appointment. You can, if we are available when you call, we will talk to you. You can schedule us to come to your church or wherever you are. We will be glad to present our materials to you. Hallelujah. Ah, my dear. So we are proving God's will that all be healed. This is part four. If you missed any of them, you can ask us later. For the playback numbers, I will let you know how to text me, and you can ask for that. I will send them back by text. Always.
Hallelujah. Welcome again. For anyone who has joined us in the series, we are exploring the Word of God and proving that it is God's will to heal everyone of everything. This will be our fourth week in showing this clearly, and hopefully before we end off, all who have heard will believe what God says and reject anything they see or feel that opposes what God says. Faith comes by hearing, and faith is not based on what we see. People tend to base their beliefs on what they see rather than on the Word of God. So when things don't happen in the world the way they're supposed to according to the Word of God, then they make up a reason why God's Word doesn't really mean what it says. The Holy Spirit teaches us knowledge, and we begin to receive and understand sound doctrine when we read and meditate on God's Word. According to His Word, we are chosen to search out and know His will. God does not withhold from us. That is the same lie Satan used on Eve and still tells today. The lie that God is holding back. It is a strategy of hell to maintain the same lie over and over and over again, because if people hear the same lie over and over again, they begin to believe it. The devil lies and tells us we can't know the will of God. Then he sets up a situation in our lives or in the world that opposes God's word, which is his will, to reinforce the lie that we can't know God's will. The devil lies to us and teaches us that everything that happens is God's will. So if you are ill, stricken with disease, or on your way to the morgue, so to speak, it must be God's will. Not knowing the will of God leaves us open and susceptible to those lies.
That is so true. When we don't know it is God's will to heal, we can't expect to be healed. We won't have faith in His word because our belief in healing has already been established by what we experience in the world. Our bodies begin to talk to us and tell us what's real and what's true. And when this happens, many will not obey the word of God and position themselves to receive His goodness and His mercy. They won't read and study the word of God because they've already judged Him unfaithful to it. God's word is a medicine, and it is curative. His word is for everyone. Therefore, His healing is also for everyone. God tells us to be strong. He never says, be weak. I mean, you can search the word through and through. You are not going to find God saying, be weak, be sick. And then He gives us the means to be strong and not weak, which is His word. A strong, healthy spirit man influences and creates a strong, healthy soul and a strong, healthy body. We must guard our hearts, because the heart is representative of the totality of our being. People of strong faith in God tend to heal faster than those who don't believe. This is because your immune system will be as strong as your spirit man. Previously, we also talked about the drains in life that allow spiritual life to leak out. And we had special emphasis on fear and worry, busyness, and strife. These are things that weaken the spirit man. And then in turn, it weakens the outer man, leaving us open to illness, infection, and infirmity. Then last week, we showed how God did not create sickness, poverty, or death in His original creation in the Garden of Eden. Nor will it be evident in heaven. God doesn't change, which tells us it is His will that there be no sickness, poverty, or death in the middle either. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Sickness, poverty, and death are works of sin, brought on by the devil most often because of sin, whether it's personal sin, associational sin, or generational sin, matters not. We showed how infirmity is in fact satanic bondage, how disease is evil, and that God is not involved in evil. We overcome evil with good. God is good. And everything He created was judged to be very good. Jesus, who is the Word of God made flesh, was sent here to defeat sin, sickness, poverty, and death forever. All the works of hell. He was sent to put Satan and his demons to an open shame and to take the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He then left us the mandate that was prophesied by Isaiah, excuse me, to build the old waste, raise up the former desolations, repair the waste cities, and the desolations of many generations. Hallelujah.
Amen. Jesus isn't coming back to bring us a kingdom and restore everything. He's coming back to receive the kingdom he already established that has now been perfected and restored to its original state by him through his people.
Amen.
He told his disciples in Matthew 28:18-20, says the following, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. And what things did Jesus command them to do? Matthew 10:7-8. "And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give."
Oh, hallelujah.
A lot of us have forgotten that scripture. We are now the disciples of Christ and the ones appointed and anointed to do this. It is the same mandate as was prophesied by Isaiah, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. These words are for all who are born again and following Jesus. These words are for all who are born again and following Jesus. We are in a covenant with God, and that covenant is yet another reason that proves his will for healing. Let's look at it, keeping in mind that every covenant of God encompasses the one before it. Jesus said he didn't come to get rid of the covenant, but to fulfill it. His fulfillment of the covenant enabled the institution of a better one. That included the ones before and expanded the blessings of those covenants by making a way for us to also fulfill them. The law of God, his Ten Commandments, did not pass away. They are all incorporated in the new law, the higher law of love.
Oh, I hope you got that. I'm going to read that. Mark 12:29-31, "And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Hear, O Israel." When we are walking in the law of love, it is impossible to break any one of God's Ten Commandments. It's impossible. We've included this as an example of how none of the covenants of God disappear or are disannulled. Instead, they are immersed into the next one. They just get better. Hallelujah. Exodus 15, if y'all want to open your Bibles and turn there, we're going to spend a little time in Exodus chapter 15. I'm going to start with verses 18-21. "The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider has he thrown into the sea."
What you see here is a great victory and rejoicing in the awesome miracles of God and his salvation from certain death. This has come after the Passover, when the people of God were spared from the devastations brought on the unbelievers because of their cruelty and the way they had put the Israelites in bondage. They had obeyed the Lord, followed his instructions, and the angel of death passed over their dwellings when he saw the blood on their doorposts. When they left Egypt, the word says, there was not one feeble person among them. Why do you suppose that is? Could you find a people group of 2 million without a single infirmity?
Oh, wow.
But these people received the word of the Lord, had faith to obey it, and were saved by it. But then look what happened next in Exodus 15:22-25. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, I know where I am. I was just thinking of that event. I was imagining it in my mind. I was seeing all that. It's marvelous. The word is alive, folks. Immediately after experiencing the mighty hand of God to save and to set free, they murmured. They complained. The people murmured against Moses, it says. Complaining and murmuring is not a right response in challenging times and circumstances. Complaining and murmuring is a strategy of hell. Plain and simple. Griping and fussing is a sure way to get down and stay down. Murmuring is a form of unbelief. I will say that again. Murmuring is a form of unbelief. When you're in faith, you cannot complain, because faith doesn't complain. Faith rejoices and faith gives thanks. And that is the will of God. Oh, well, give me scripture for that. I'm so glad you asked. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, even more clear. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Amen.
You get out of it a lot faster, too.
Hallelujah. Maybe these people didn't know God's will, since they didn't have these verses back then in the wilderness.
Hey.
So God took away all the excuses by telling them who he is in Exodus 15:27. He says, and said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. Jehovah Rapha, in Hebrew, for the Lord who heals. I'm sorry, let me read that again. Jehovah Rapha is Hebrew for the Lord who heals. Rapha means to mend, to cure, and Jehovah is the self-existent one. It is his will to heal you because that is who he is. It is one of his many names which denote his very nature and the aspects of his character. The second part of that verse refers to a covenant of healing, one that has many witnesses throughout Scripture. God took the nation to 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. If you know the symbolism of God's numbering system and the symbolic meaning of water and trees, this is very significant. And we don't have the time in this meeting to go through this study of it because it's very lengthy, so we're going to save you the trouble and simply explain these symbols. Later on, if you want to study it out yourself, we encourage you to do that. We never want to give you anything that is not God. Excuse me, is not God's word, his will, or his way.
Amen.
It is God's will to heal you because that is who he is. He called himself Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who healeth thee. So first of all, these verses in Exodus tell us a covenant was made here. He made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. This is covenant language. And covenant is not a one-way street. Each party has a part in it. In a covenant, there is an if you, then I. There is an if you, then I involved in every covenant. There are rules. God is a covenant-making and a covenant-keeping God. He is faithful to his covenant, even if we're not. It's an agreement. It's a binding agreement between the parties involved. There are great benefits, and there are conditions. We're going to give you examples here. God had a covenant with Adam. Genesis 1:28 says, "And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moves upon the earth." That's a lot of benefit. Genesis 2, verse 15 and 16. "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it. For in that day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die." And here's the conditions. Here's the garden, Adam. Dress it, keep it, and don't eat of that tree.
That's right. In chapter 1, we see the benefits of God's covenant with Adam. Reproductive ability, authority to subdue the earth, and dominion over every creature, fish, and birds, and beasts. Were all meant for Adam and his offspring. In chapter 2, we see the condition for receiving the benefits. Don't eat of this particular tree. Then Adam broke the covenant, and you know what happened. God didn't change, but Adam lost the benefits, and the world and everything in it got messed up. And we talked a lot about that last week. God is still who he says he is, and the fullness of his healing was restored by the second Adam, Jesus Christ, who did keep the original covenant. When Abraham asked God, "How will I know I'm going to have this inheritance you're talking about. God told him to gather animals for a sacrifice, and Abraham obeyed. And then God made a covenant. But the Abrahamic covenant was not made with Abraham. It was made for him. He was asleep, and the covenant was made between God and the Father, God the Father and God the Son, the smoking furnace and the burning lamp. You can look that up in Genesis 15. There are many other covenants throughout Scripture, and each one includes God's healing. There is not a benefit package on the planet as great as the one in Psalm 91. We encourage you to learn what you are entitled to receive in your covenant walk with God. In Psalm 91, verse 16, he says, "With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation."
Amen. Hallelujah. God's will for healing was always, always, from the beginning. If you believe this, then you will act like a covenant-keeping child of God and receive the healing that God has for you without murmuring about your present condition. You'll begin to say, "Praise God," instead of "Why, God?" You'll say, "Thank you, Father," instead of "What'd you do this to me for?" You will speak the will of God and not what you see. Go back to the story in Exodus and the symbolisms that we find there. After God declares who he is, Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals us, then he takes the people to a place with 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. Water is symbolic of the living water of God. What's the New Testament tell us? Out of your belly will flow living water. It's symbolic of the living water of God, as water is refreshing and life-giving. Trees often, throughout the Scripture, symbolize people, authority, and leadership. Different types of trees reflect the different attributes that God gives his people or wants them to develop. A study of the trees is really interesting. I think it's Isaiah 42, maybe 40. I think it's 42 or 47 that has a lot of the trees listed. And if you look them up, you'll really get your eyes open. The number 12 is God's number for government or rulership. And the number 70, well, that's seven tens. Now, seven is symbolic for spiritual perfection or maturity, and 10 is symbolic of responsibility or obedience. So palm trees are a symbol for victory. So 70 would indicate spiritual perfection in obedience to God, which brings the victory. All this points to Elam, this place in the desert that had palm trees and water, as saying that the people were being led to a place of rulership and victory through obedience and maturity of spirit. God's word is amazing. He did not withhold from us. It isn't a mystery. However, we are expected to search it out. Proverbs 25, verse 2, "It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter." And in Ephesians 5, 17, "Wherefore, be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Ephesians 3, verse 9 to 11, "And to make all men see What is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're supposed to be revealing these things.
Amen. These verses all tell us that it is God's will that we know him, how he thinks, what he desires, and what is his will. We are to search the scriptures for answers and not take the word of the world or what we see as our authority on what is. We are to be wise in our understanding of the word, learning what the will of God is. We are then to reveal the will of God as the body of believers that we claim to be. We reveal God's will to principalities and powers that have oppressed us as they continually oppose God, taking on the authority of heaven against them and freeing ourselves and others from the satanic bondage of sin, sickness, poverty, and death. We have this power and authority only because of Jesus Christ. The whole book is about him. The story in Exodus of the waters of Marah and their bitterness is a story about Jesus. No one could drink of the water because it was bitter. Sickness is bitter, but it can be made sweet. Malignancy can be made healthy. God showed Moses a tree. Moses cut down the tree and threw it into the water, and the water became sweet and refreshing, rather than toxic and full of death. The tree gave up its life for others. Jesus hung on a tree, gave up his life for the bitterness of death and dying to be removed and life to take its place. What Jesus took on the cross was bitterness on steroids. So horrific, we can't truly take it into our understanding. We can't get our mind around it. We serve a God whose will it is to make the bitter sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I am the Lord that healeth thee. The words I am are powerful and so deeply meaningful in Scripture that it's sometimes hard to describe. God says I am when asked his name, and every name of God is followed by an attribute of his very nature. There is far more power in the words I am than most of the church realizes. Lord is Jehovah in Hebrew, which means the self-existent one. I am means he is. God is not the God that used to be or the God that will someday be. He is. Those who come to God must believe that he is, that he exists and has always existed. All of time is in him. All of history, past and history to come. It is his story, his story. God is. He is not dependent on anyone or anything or any other's power source for his existence. Everything we know, even our very breath, depends on his being.
Ooh, hallelujah.
Our hearts beat. Our lungs function, our brains analyze because he is. The world turns, the sun shines, the rains come, the grass grows, the babies are born because he is.
Yeah. Hallelujah. God often put his name, I am, with another name, as he did here. I am the healer. The great physician. I am the one who heals you. It's in his covenant. Exodus 23, verse 24 and 25. You shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but you shall utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of you. Oh, thank you, God. Healing is in your covenant. We know healing is God's will because he put it in the covenant. In this verse, God says not only that he takes sickness away, but he also blesses our bread and water when we're in covenant with him. We seem to have lost the meaning of that by making bless this food to the nourishment of our bodies our prayer without understanding the depth of God's blessing our food and water. There are enough germs in what we consume in a day to make us sick. But God's blessing on our food sanctifies it. It makes it clean. It removes the ill effects of it. He makes it so that our physical bodies are quickened and strengthened by it. If you're a believer, then you are set apart and sanctified unto God, and whatever you eat or drink is also set apart and sanctified to God. Our food is blessed. It is sanctified to help keep us healthy and give us energy to serve the Lord. The food is sanctified. You are sanctified. It's like the farmer whose wife invited the preacher over for dinner after church the following Sunday. So she had her husband helping her get ready by killing and plucking some of their chickens. And the day came, and the woman fried up a big platter of chicken and made some biscuits, and they sat down to eat. And the preacher polished off more than half of that heaped-up platter all by himself. And every time he'd slow down, the woman would say, "Won't you have another piece, preacher?" And the man of God, sanctified to God, would take two or three more pieces. The farmer was getting a little irritated at all that he was eating when the preacher finally told the woman, "No, thank you, I've had enough." It was then that a rooster crowed outside the window. I don't do good sound effects. "My, my," the preacher said, "that sure sounds like a proud bird." And the farmer replied, "He ought to be proud. Two of his offspring just entered the ministry."
God told us to worship him only and not to bow down to other gods. His perfect will is there not be any worship of any kind anywhere. I'm sorry, let me read that again. And not sound right. Yeah, God told us to worship him and him only and not to bow down to other gods. His perfect will is there not be any worship of any other kind anywhere. To be a Christian, we need to understand this and stop compromising for the sake of respecting other religions and saying we just don't know if they're wrong in what they believe, or that there's only one God and all paths lead to him, or that we should just let people be who they are and believe whatever they want to. Are people going to believe what they want to? Well, yes. Does that relieve us of the responsibility of telling them the truth? The answer to that is no. You cannot be a true Christian and acknowledge any other God or that there is some other way to God other than through Jesus Christ. As Christians, we must honor God and hold on to what he has committed us to. We should be making disciples to Christ, not helping our friends and neighbors following a false god by our acceptance. We should be worshiping and serving God by doing things his way and not our own way. And if you want to go your own way and not his, then realize there are consequences already set up in the world for breaking covenant. Covenant is serious business with God. Covenant and testament have essentially the same meaning. Rather than thinking in terms of Old Testament and New Testament, begin to think in terms of Old Covenant and New Covenant. Keeping in mind that those promises and conditions of the Old Covenant are still contained in our New Covenant. Also, remember that a covenant is a bond. It is a binding agreement. The only true good life is a covenant-keeping life. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, which keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. God's serious about covenant. Deuteronomy 7:12, wherefore it shall come to pass if you hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God shall keep unto you the covenant and the mercy which he swore unto your fathers.
Thank you, Lord. You know, there are those who say, well, yeah, but that was Old Testament. It doesn't apply to me, only to the Jews. Really? Well, who is the Jew? Romans 2, 28 and 29. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Galatians 3:7. Know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham? Know you that they which are of faith are the children of Abraham? This is not what some consider to be replacement theology. We are not teaching replacement theology. This is the Word of God. And it tells me that if God had a covenant with the Jews and with their descendants, then that is my covenant too. It applies to me because I'm circumcised in the heart and I am the seed of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ. There are plenty of scriptures that reveal God is not finished with the Jewish people, but I am now included in his covenants, all of them.
Hebrews 8:10 says, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. Thank you, Lord. We all, those of physical Jewish heritage, that have become those of Jewish heritage, but have become born again, and those who are not part of Jewish heritage, but are born again, claim this verse as our own. It applies to us because we are his born again, covenant keeping children. We are living in this better covenant spoken of in Hebrews chapter 8. The Holy Spirit is now inside us, teaching and guiding us as we follow on to know the Lord. We are in the better covenant right now, where we no longer have to make animal sacrifices to cover our sins and trespasses. The price has been paid for those sins and trespasses. God was Jehovah Rapha to the Jews then, and he is Jehovah Rapha to us now.
Amen.
Before God blessed the people with healing based on what he knew his son would do later, healing, prosperity, peace, joy, and victory were provided on credit terms to those who kept his covenant. The account was settled in full by the blood of Jesus. He paid it all. Prosperity, peace, joy, victory, freedom, and healing were all in God's covenant from the start and remain ours today in the better covenant we enjoy. We know it is God's will to heal because of the covenant.
Amen.
Well, hallelujah. So next week we're going to look at several other of the other names of God, who he says he is, because each one reinforces the truth of God's will that all be healed of everything. We may even have time to get into the fact of redemption from the curse of the law and what that means in terms of God's will to heal us.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh, I can hardly wait. But for now, if you consider yourself a covenant child of God, I invite you to pray this prayer out loud with me, and let's seal this word and this truth. Father God, thank you for even more insight into who you are.
Father God, thank you.
And your will that I am healed, made whole, and healthy. Forgive me, Lord, for doubting you or for accusing you. Forgive me for giving the devil a right to my life through my disobedient attitudes and actions. And forgiving any disease, infirmity, or affliction a right to my life by seeking and speaking a reason from the world, rather than admitting the true cause that is inherent in the curse. Thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that he made provision for the bitter thing in my life to be made sweet. That when he hung on that tree, he took the curse of the law for me. I no longer have to carry it, be afflicted by it, or die from it. Thank you, Father, for a deeper understanding of your covenant and your faithfulness in keeping the covenant that you made. Help me be faithful to your covenant also, Lord.
Faithful to your covenant also.
Always aware that you are I am. Present with me.
Present with me.
To heal. To set free. To bring peace and victory in all things. Keep me in your name, Lord, your character, reflecting who you are in every situation and honoring your covenant. Continue to show me my true identity, Lord. And thank you for revealing.
Thank you for revealing.
That I am a part of spiritual Israel. The covenant of healing belongs to me. Just as it did to the Jewish nation. Help me, Father, to be uncompromising and steadfast, searching through the scriptures to discover your perfect will in everything, and lining my beliefs up with your will, your word, and your way. I declare the blood of Jesus is all-powerful and effective to overcome all sickness, poverty, and death, and to accomplish this in my life right here on earth. Help me, Lord, to fulfill the commandment you gave us to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out devils. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I am going to open the lines so that you can unmute your phones by pressing the *6 key on your phone. If you have a comment or a question, okay, I finally got it right. So if you have a comment or a question, or you just want to let us know that you were here, please push your *6 keys.
Hi, this is Helen. I really don't know what to say. This is just so informative. There's so much there. It's unbelievable. I don't know, 5 or 6 months, when one of my friends and I pray, we have a particular time a week that we get together and pray just in the spirit. And the word vastness, V-A-S-T, vastness of his kingdom, it keeps coming to me. And I can see why. It's I just wonder if is it possible to know it all, but maybe it's the end of a million years. I don't know. But tonight was really good. Thank you very much.
Amen. Thank you, Helen. God bless you.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it is very, very vast. Very,
mm-hmm.
It is.
Yeah.
The kingdom, and the kingdom, here's the part that's hard to wrap your brain around. The kingdom is ours. Jesus received the kingdom. Read it in Daniel 7. That was his coronation. And the kingdom is possessed by the saints. He came back and gave it to us forever and ever. He's waiting for us to perfect this kingdom and reign in it with him as our head. Hallelujah. He's already doing the work. He's just now doing it through us. It's so amazing. It's just, the Word of God is so rich. And when you grab it, when you grab hold, and I know we probably overload you guys. I mean, we give you so much information. But it's okay. Because you need to be fed with a fire hose. We don't have time to mess around. You need to get it, hold it, eat it, live it. It's amazing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Helen.
else has something to say? I know there's somebody out there who wants to say something. Star 6. If you're talking and we're not responding, it's because your phone is muted.
Maybe. Teaching on healing, that enemy fears the attack. But God gives us victory.
Amen.
And they will be victory. Whatever they're saying, they see. And I bind the enemy. I bind you, Satan. You will not attack God's people for having this teaching, this understanding of truth. I bind retaliation, and I turn it back on you in the name of Jesus.
Amen, Phil. Pray for those who are battling an illness.
And I just lift up everybody, every believer, every person who is facing, struggling with an illness, a challenge to their health at this time. I lift them up and I loose the healing anointing in the name of Jesus that you just cover. There is no distance in prayer. So we touch every person, in the sound of my voice, every person that is related or connected to our ministry in any way. We touch them with the blood of Jesus. We cover them with the blood of Jesus. And we just say, reach out and grab the hem of Jesus' garment. Touch him with the touch of faith. Draw on your account from heaven for your healing, your deliverance, and your freedom, and your prosperity. So we just loose that now in the name of Jesus. And we loose the angels of God to do battle in the heavenlies for every single one of us. An amazing day in an amazing way that we will know the salvation of our Lord, the healing of our Lord, the deliverance that God has for us in his covenant. Thank you, Lord, that you are touching us all now with your healing touch. And I break every assignment against Annette, Taylor, Rosemary, everyone, even the ones I can't remember their name right now that are struggling with attacks from the enemy. And I say, rise up in the name of Jesus and be healed by the touch and the stripes of Jesus and his blood. We plead the blood of Jesus. We plead the blood, and we thank you in advance, and we give you glory and honor, Father God, for touching and healing immediately all of these infirmities and these attacks, and set your people free and do battle for them in the heavenlies. In the mighty name of Jesus, we are victorious in him, and we receive it in the name of Jesus, and we give you, God, all the glory, all the honor, and we praise and worship your name, and we give honor to Jesus. We lift up and we plead his blood now. Jesus' name. Touch and heal. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes, rise up and possess your possession. Has anybody else got something to say before Pastor Phil blesses us with the Aaronic benediction? Star 6, unmute your phone.
Thank you so much, Phil. And I'm just very blessed tonight, and I'm so happy you guys, you're taping all these messages. So I know, you know, the people that missed it, they can always, you know, you have it all recorded, which is a blessing. It's tremendous.
Yes.
And I pray Annette, I know she had a very high fever, I think Mitch was saying on Friday. I hope she's recovering. I pray she is recovering. And that is, in Jesus' name, is recovering.
Amen.
So, continual healing for Annette and for everybody on the line. So, and Harry, my cousin's son,
yes.
Harry, continual healing in his mind, you know, clarity to see, you know, to see more of God, the Holy Spirit working in him. So thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lisa. God bless you, and thanks for your faithfulness. Anybody else?
Well, I enjoyed part of it, and I sure appreciate your faithfulness and bringing it forth. I've had calls that came in and out that I had to grab, but we had a miracle breakthrough with rain. We've been in fires, and so let it rain and let it be a healing rain and let healing come. So I'm really anticipatory of more demonstrations of God's healing virtue, quickening our mortal bodies with the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, and healing our land with some rain.
Yeah. Amen.
Healing rain is coming down.
Mm-hmm.
Coming closer. Hallelujah. This
we just bless you for your faithfulness, too. I'm just in agreement with Lisa that just the refreshing, just faithfulness of you guys, like nitro and glisten, like pistons and valves running together and making it keep going forward, no matter what. So thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Pray that God's compass you around about with songs of deliverance. Prosper and protect you as you mete it out. May it be meted back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over.
Thank you, Rick.
Yep.
Amen.
All right.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Shabbat shalom. Hallelujah.
Okay.
All right. Praise the Lord. I'm going to do the Aaronic benediction and pray us out. Father, we just thank you for your word. We ask you to seal it in our hearts. Strengthen us. We thank you for answered prayer. We thank you for mighty deliverances and healings. And we thank you for a good report. In Jesus' name. And as Aaron blessed the children of Israel, I bless you now with his benediction and from Numbers, the 6th chapter, in Hebrew and English. Yivarechach Adonai ve'yishmarech, Yisa Adonai panav elecha yifuneh, Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his face unto you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance unto you and give you shalom, give you peace. And I add in Yeshem Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, who is our Sar Shalom, our Prince of Peace. Thank you for your blessing, Lord. Camp your angels around your people today. Bring them back safely in the morning for our meeting at 7:15, blessed, healed, delivered, with great reports, great testimonies, to your glory, to your honor, in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And this message will be repeated on Friday. Anyone who has missed any of this series and wants to hear it, you can text me at 904-993-2876 and request the playback dial-in number and access codes. Each one will be different for these four meetings. So I thank you so much. God bless you. And shalom. And good night. Pardon me. Bye now. Possess your possessions.